Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, joined by Sam Jam Packard for the Mailbag Show. Rain and Jays is the hashtag for our basketball questions, then later the Rain and Junk for Sam's extended summer junk drawer. Appreciate everybody sending in the questions. Why don't we just dive right in, Sam? You ready?
Sounds good.
All right, let's just do this. Dylan Costello asks, and this is a common question that I've gotten and a common thing that I've seen on Twitter. Does the Kyrie trade mean the Avery trade didn't necessarily need to go down? No, is the answer, because Kyrie Irving didn't ask for the trade until the end of July. So the reason Avery Bradley was traded, we all know, is because... they needed to clear the space to sign Gordon Hayward. And if they knew that they were going to trade for another star, maybe they could have included Bradley in that deal and worked it out where they kept either him or Jay Crowder and swung things a different way. Maybe if they had known from the beginning that this was going to happen, that it's possible. But they had to make the deal with the thought that they were going with Isaiah and Hayward, and Avery Bradley just happened to be a casualty of that. Once Kyrie requested the trade, that changed things. I'm sure Danny Ainge probably wishes he could have taken it back, but it was still weeks later before we knew Kyrie Irving was going to shock the world and decide he wants to leave a title contender.
Yeah, and even if the timeline worked out differently, in this hypothetical world where they kept Avery Bradley, he would still be in a contract year. And the amount of money that I think he's going to make, considering that Marcus Smart's also going to be a restricted free agent, I don't think they would have been able to re-sign both of them. And the kind of logic points to re-signing Marcus Smart because he's the younger of the two players and kind of has more upside. That's why all the Boston media thought if someone was going to go, it was going to be Avery Bradley. So I think the trade, although it wasn't necessary, had they known about the Kyrie deal, I still think there's a possibility it could have happened just because they wanted to get some sort of assets back for a guy they didn't think they were ultimately going to re-sign.
Profit at One Crazy Siki. Y'all worried about Mook's criminal trial? You're the law-talking guy.
All right, I've been spending the past 15 minutes looking into this. Marcus Morris and Markieff Morris are charged with two counts of aggravated assault in Arizona stemming from a 2015 incident. If convicted, they could spend anywhere from 1 year to 3.75 years in prison. You know, anytime you get up for a criminal trial and you're indicted and you are arraigned and you go to trial, you know what? There's a chance that you can end in conviction. So that is not a good thing for the Morris twins. I just looked up the docket numbers and the cases, and it looked like two of his co-defendants pled guilty yesterday. So I'm going to say I think if they have two fall guys, that it's going to be pretty hard to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Marcus Morris and Markieff Morris were kind of in on the assault. So I'm not that worried for it, especially because two of his co-defendants pled guilty today.
Yeah, I really don't know as much about the trial. You know definitely more about it than I do. I will just say that I'm not worried that professional athletes do find a way to finagle their way out of these things. They haven't, to my knowledge, been in any sort of legal trouble before.
Marcus Morris did have a misdemeanor assault charge for when he was at Kansas.
Okay, so there's that.
But you know what? The legal system is pretty much designed for rich people. So if you're extremely wealthy and can hire great lawyers, you're generally going to get a better result.
Yeah, I just feel like they'll find a way to either extend this or delay it or something or plead out or something where they can get back to basketball and be fine. I don't think anybody's really necessarily worried about that too much. Okay, that Vlad guy. Will this season be the most challenging year for Stevens as a coach due to all the changes, expectations, and new players? I don't think it's going to be the most challenging year. I mean, I'm sure Brad Stevens would say something to the effect that every year is a challenge. And each team presents its own unique challenges. So you can't really say this will be a bigger challenge than the other. Because, yes, they have had turnover, but what was it? Brad's first year, second year, they had like Danny Ainge was making trades like every other weekend. That was the year Rondo got traded and everybody got traded. So they've had a ton of turnover before. And, you know, I know the expectations, as Vlad says, add a different element to it. But he also has three stars that he didn't have before. Kyrie, you didn't have Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward is a star player. And Al Horford. I know some people might scoff at the calling him a star, but he is a star player. He's really, really good. He's a top 30, 40, 50 player in the league, which means in a league with, you know, that makes him, you know, among the top what percent, you know, like whatever that number works out to be.
That was math I was not prepared to do.
I know. I backed myself into a mathematical corner that I wasn't prepared for myself. But point is that Brad can throw those guys, just say, hey, Gordon, I got nothing. Go score.
And be a good basketball player.
Yeah. So, and Gordon Hayward will be like, all right, yeah, I'm really good at this game. I'll go score. And Kyrie, you got to create something for yourself. Okay, no problem. I've done that before. I can go do that. And Al Horford makes other people better, and they'll be fine. So it will be a challenging year, but every year is a challenging year for a coach. Every team does present its own challenges, and it's hard to set 1 year apart from the next, I think.
Yeah, no, it's just being able to coach better players makes the job of the coach easier. I mean, if you think back to Brad Stevens' first year, one, he's adjusting to kind of the NBA game. Two, he has to coach Rajon Rondo and Jeff Green. Like, two of the kind of surlier guys who were at that point in their careers. I mean, Jeff Green never really was talented, but Rondo was coming off injuries at that point. You talk about all the turnover that happened in those three seasons. I think if you ask Brad Stevens, right, he'll immediately be able to tell you how many like different players that came through. There was like 25 in the first 2 years. I think the first year is definitely was the hardest for him. I feel like now he has some experience under his belt, and he's just, you know, like you said, has a lot better team. So I don't think it's going to be harder for Brad Stevens. I think it's the expectations are higher, but no, it shouldn't be in terms of degree of difficulty. When you have better players, I don't think it should be a more difficult job. I think there is the possibility of just having so many young players on the team, of trying to work them into the system. That's something that we haven't seen Brad doesn't have a lot of patience for shenanigans or screw-ups or mental mistakes, and he has a bunch of rookies or younger players this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how he deals with that, because there's going to be a lot of pressure to win basketball games and simultaneously develop these young guys. And how he balances that is going to be interesting, but I don't think that's necessarily much harder than dealing with, like, just a talentless team of, like, having to play Marcus Thornton over 20 minutes a game.
Well, the thing about coaching and the thing that makes Brad so good is that he does play to his team's strengths. He's not out there like Mike D'Antoni that is a system. He has his system, and he needs guys that fit that system. And if they don't, then he's going to have problems. I think Brad Stevens, much like Greg Popovich, is very willing to adjust to his team. So I remember a few years ago where San Antonio had always been known as a slow-down defensive team, and then the personnel changed, and they needed to pick up the pace. Their defensive rankings dropped. Their offensive rankings rose. They were much more fluid offensive team, and everybody's like, whoa, what the hell is this? It just, that's the personnel. So the past Brad Stevens had not as much patience for certain guys, certain mistakes. Who knows? Maybe this Brad Stevens takes a little bit of a different approach, letting Jason Tatum kind of float along out there, kind of throw him into the deep end and just trial by fire type of thing. So I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen, but I just think that Brad Stevens, what he's done in the past is indicative of the future, but not necessarily predictive of what he will do in the future, because with a different team, different talent, a different challenge, he will adjust his coaching style as he sees fit for the team that he has.
Yeah, it makes sense for that adjustment, and it's kind of the Belichickian thing. It's like, oh, we have no linebackers. Let's switch to a 3-4 or 4-3. I don't know which one is which at this point, but it's, you know, it's adjusting for talent, but it's just there's some times where the mistakes ultimately hurt your team and are not conducive to winning basketball, and Brad Stevens is a very competitive person, and he likes to win every single game he's competing in, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how many mistakes he lets through for the sake of development. I know that's it's an adjustment, but you would think he would have done the same for Jaylen Brown next year. And I don't know. Jason Tatum has only played 1 year at Duke. There's potential for him just to not be able to make the adjustment, at least early on, just of kind of being in the NBA, being in the pros, making the right passes, making the right plays, being there on defense. That, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of expectations for Tatum because he was traded for Markelle Fultz, and he has this kind of crazy highlights in the summer league for his great offensive skills, but I don't know how much we should actually expect for him to contribute, especially early on in the year. I just don't know, like, if you should expect contributions from any rookie in the first couple months of the season.
No, that's true. I mean, it's so hard to figure out what to expect with from this team. Let's see what's next here with the Rain and Jays hashtag. NYAOCD sports fan. NYAOCD sports fan. I feel like I should say that over and over again because there's the OCD in there. If/when we get Bogut, what do you think of a Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, Bogut starting lineup with Rozier, Smart, Tatum, Morris, Baines as the bench? We don't have, yeah. First of all, I don't think we're signing Bogut.
Yeah.
So I could throw out the question right there. I don't think we're starting Bogut. And if we got, I don't think we're signing Bogut. And if we got him, I don't think we're starting him, because he's made of just toothpicks, and he's, I don't know.
He's a broken man, and tall, like, players in the NBA don't have a lot of longevity. And he, for the Mavericks last year, he really couldn't do anything. He signed with Cleveland, immediately got hurt. There's just no expectation that he would be a productive player. Plus, we already have, like, a tall, surly Australian guy on the roster. I really just don't think we should add a second one. That's not good for karma.
I'm done with that. I don't think we get Bogut. They haven't. There's been no mention of that. Whatever. That's fine. Moving on. Random question from @IrishKelleher. If Kevin Durant had come to the Celtics and the Celtics beat Cleveland, lost to Golden State, do you think Kyrie still wants out? And would Danny still do the deal? Well, geez, so many things happened.
Let me think about this. But, Kevin Durant's on the Celtics, and the Celtics beat Cleveland and then lost to Golden State. Do you think Kyrie... I'm going to say I think Kyrie still wanted out, because I think the main reason he wanted to leave Cleveland is he didn't want to deal with a year of will he or won't he leave LeBron James drama. I think it was more about – it wasn't like the inability to beat Golden State. It was more just like I don't want to like deal with just being in the same locker room and having to deal with all the craziness that is LeBron James. So you can throw a bunch of crazy different hypotheticals, but if he's still on the same team as LeBron James and LeBron James is still potentially leaving, I think that's a situation that Kyrie doesn't want to be in.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Kyrie probably wants out at that point. I don't know. So many things play into this. Does Isaiah still get hurt, or is he healthy? I just don't know what the entire scenario is. What would Danny Ainge do that deal? He might. He might decide that he wanted to try something different. I mean, you still have Isaiah's contract situation, where if you could guarantee yourself less money with Kyrie, if the situation was similar in what Cleveland was trying to do, if LeBron was still kind of looking to leave and go to LA or wherever, then yeah, he made the trade this time. If Kyrie still wants out, then I'm sure Ainge would kick the tires on the trade if they had Durant, but who knows? I'll say that he'd at least consider the deal. The last Rain and Jays hashtag, and comes from @Carbonite_kid. Did you happen to catch the shade Celtic Stuff Live boys threw at you in the last pod?
Oh, I did not, because I did not listen to that podcast.
Oh. I am a couple of shows behind of my Celtic Stuff Live listening, so I did not hear the shade. I would like to hear the shade. I'm sure that it's just a little good-natured trash talk, just like, just a little friendly thing between podcasts, because I like those guys, and I know that I think that they like us. Pretty sure they like us.
You got to do some friendly trash talk. There was once upon a time when I used to work for a four-letter radio station, and I was actually rivals with the Reigning Jays. And I was on a lower totem pole, and I was looking up at the Reigning Jays, and I had to try and talk some trash, just try to stay relevant. So I know the kind of the position that they're in. You're always punching up if you're on a lower tier podcast. It's just kind of what you do. It's the business. But those guys are great. Both. Great Twitter followers. So even if they said something, I hope it was just at least accurate and funny, because that's the best kind of trash.
That's it. It's no different than Durant and LeBron talking trash to each other, or maybe needling each other once in a while. You're still buddies. They'll still go do their Nike thing, and I'm sure there's no animus between them, really. So whatever they said, now I'm going to go listen to the show and see what they had to say. And respond in kind in our next podcast. All right, that's it for the Rain and Jays hashtag. Before we get to the Rain and Junk, I want to remind people, since we're talking about other shows you should be listening to go check out the rest of the Locked On podcast network. Especially, I mentioned the Locked On Fantasy Basketball show. I was on one of their recent shows. They've been going team to team and doing a fantasy basketball preview from every player. I was there talking about literally every player on the roster. I was asked about Shane Larkin. I was asked about Abdel Nader. Yeah, like I broke down my breakout star, what do I think about Kyrie and Gordon Hayward? But I was asked about Abdel Nader. I was asked about Aaron Baines. We broke it down player to player, and they've done that for every team in the NBA. So go check out the Locked On Fantasy Basketball. And of course, if you want to follow any team, you want to see what the folks in Cleveland are saying about the trade, go follow Locked On Cavs or any other team in the NBA. We've got them all covered. So check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.
I now, just want to say I'm hearing some good whispers about Abdel Nader coming out of the Celtics practice facility. Most of the guys, I think actually everyone except for Kyrie is now in Boston working out, doing team practices. I'm hearing good things about Abdel Nader, so maybe a fantasy sleeper for those who play fantasy basketball. That's a, that's a inside information for me.
All right, let me then kick off the Rain and Junk with my own Rain and Junk question. How excited were you to see these photos out today, especially to Marcus Smart, like rising up for this insane dunk, and then Jason Tatum and Paul Pierce? This photograph that was put out, a little dap at center court there.
It's just fun to see Paul Pierce back in the building. That's the one I'm most excited about. The Marcus Smart dunk was a little, he didn't throw down with as much authority as I would have liked, but seeing Paul Pierce in the building, like kind of training, it's like, it's the exact image of what you thought Pierce would do post career. So that's exciting. Another great image coming out of Celtics practice today was Al Horford, just posted a cool practice photo, and Isaiah Thomas in the comments, Isaiah Thomas, prolific Instagram commenter, says, "Going left, spin back right, hook off the glass. Lol, I got the scouting report. Lol." I just love Isaiah, man. It's gonna be a while for him to get over that, but just great, good fun loving September stuff coming out of Celtics practice.
Yep, good times. All right, Brandon Junk, actually, I turn it over to you.
We got one from Tom Hall 789. He says, "Big love from Stoke in the UK." And this is more of a reigning Jays question, but I'm going to give him a pass because he's from Stoke, which I'm going to have to say is like one of the most British sounding cities ever. But he says, "What constitutes a successful season for the Seas this year after a roster turnover?" Is because last year that I had expectations that they just had to make the conference finals. This year, I think it's the same. I think if they don't make the conference finals, it would be a disappointing season. I can understand that all the turnover, you can have, there's kind of a built-in excuse of, well, it's their first year, but I just think they have just better high-end talent. And I think there's, if they're healthy, I think they should be playing against the Cavs in the conference finals. What do you think?
I think that about the same. You know, we'll have to see how the season plays out, because there's so many unanswered questions. I have a hard time kind of saying they should make the conference finals. I do think they should right now, but we got to look at how these rookies perform. What does Jaylen Brown, how does he progress forward? What's Jason Tatum going to be in his rookie year? So I think they should make the conference finals, but we're in a position right now where if they played the Wizards again in the second round, would they lose in the second round? Right, I wouldn't be shocked necessarily if they lost that series, but there's so many questions that I think somewhere in that range, making the conference finals or just missing the conference finals is right about where we should be expecting them to be.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. All right, let's get to the actual reigning junk questions. First one's from Brad Green at It's That Brad Guy. "In this hypothetical, aliens visit Earth and we don't know their intentions. You have to send 3 current Celtics to greet them. Who goes?" Now, initially, I was thinking Kyrie because he's already kind of out there. But then, as I was reading the question, I was remembering the scene in Independence Day where they send the welcome wagon and they try to communicate, and they didn't know the aliens' intentions, and that welcome wagon got blown the fuck up. So maybe you want to send some worse people out there because you don't know what's happening. So I don't know. Kyrie feels like he's just kind of a weird space dude, so I feel like he's got to go.
But after that, I have no idea. Do you send some worse players in case they get murked by the aliens? Or do you send your best guys because you want to show that the Celtics have the most talent?
I think you need a diverse group. I think you send Jaylen Brown, smart, philosophical guy, kind of intelligent, we'll try to communicate with them. I think you need to send like a streetwise kind of guy. So maybe
an enforcer type, maybe a felonious assaulter like Mook Morris. Alleged felonious assaulter.
Well, how about this? I would say Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier kind of knows what's up. No, you know what?
He could Snapchat the entire experience.
Marcus Smart. I'm going to go Marcus Smart. Because Marcus Smart can sniff things out. He's been through some shit. You hear the stories. You know, he's been around. He gets it. And he's about that life. So he kind of can sniff out like, oh, I don't like what's going on. And then Aaron Baines as like, you know, the big tough guy. Like the Jesse Ventura with the chain gun type of, you know, just throwing shit around, and he's your kind of enforcer.
I think they're all good picks. I definitely think you need a diversity of players. So I like Aaron Baines as the token white guy. I think Aaron Baines, Kyrie Irving, and I'm just gonna send Brad Stevens because I feel like he's the best. The thinker out of all of them, and he's the one who's going to make the best decisions. That's my contingent.
Okay, good. I'm down with that.
Next, reigning junk. This isn't really a question. It's from Enrique Banasek. It just says, Kyrie is from Australia. Good point. He was born in Australia. So that means there are two Australians on the team. And I was having this debate the other day with one of my friends, and that I was initially very hyped to have an Australian on the team, but then I realized I was actually just excited about Steven Adams, and he's from New Zealand. And I determined that I like people from New Zealand way more than I like people from Australia. So now I don't know what to think.
New Zealand has a different kind of flair to it. I don't know. It's just it's Australia, but like a little weirder.
A little weirder, and it's like it feels like everyone's nice, and I'm still furious with the Thunder PR guy who wouldn't let me talk to Steven Adams the one time I was in the locker room and the Thunder were in town. Oh man, I had so many good questions for Steven. He's on the definitely on like the bucket list of NBA players I want to talk to. He's an interesting man. But you're right, Enrique. Kyrie is from Australia, which would make you think the whole flat Earth thing. He would have a better grasp of how that's going on because like. Yeah, I got to fly in multiple directions, but I don't know. It's still very confusing, that whole thing. All right, this is from Celtics AU. Speaking of Australians, actually, I got to take back the negative thing or connotations I just said about the great island nation of Australia, because we have a lot of great Australian fans.
A ton of great Australian fans.
And especially this guy. Could we start a petition to have Rozier legally change his first name to Tito?
This is all right up your alley.
First, no, we can't start a petition because there's no legal authority that can get Terry Rozier to change his name, but we can start the Tito bandwagon, and I feel like there's a groundswell moving in the Tito direction. And I know a couple people who work for the Celtics, and I've been trying to get them to ask Tito about the name Tito, and so far I don't think he's been that receptive to it, but I think we just got to keep making the push. It just makes sense to me. His name's Terry. Begins with a T. He's a very cool guy. Tito just makes sense. I released my power rankings of Tito's the other day. It went Tito Rozier, Tito Francona, Tito Puente.
Yeah.
I think I forgot about Tito Jackson, the of the Jackson 5, not the like local Boston politician. But Tito's just a cool guy name, and Tito's a good Tito Rozier's the coolest. I think he's the coolest Celtic right now. So I don't know. I'm all for it. I just need it. It's not about me. I'm going to continue to call him Tito for the rest of my time on Twitter. It's about the people joining in. So if you think it's a great name, I think everyone else on Celtics Twitter needs to take on the nickname.
No, I like it. I will admit I need to be better at, because I want the Tito thing to catch on. And I need to be better when I'm referring to him on Twitter as Tito. I want to give you the solidarity, the Rain and Jay solidarity, that we're going to make Tito happen.
I'm thinking about getting a customized Celtics jersey with his number, and that just says Tito on the back. That'll be real obscure. I'm very into the obscure jersey game, and that thing feels perfect.
Do it.
All right, this is a good one for you, John. You're as a Celtics historian. Who is the worst Celtics at each position since the year 2000?
Okay, this is a good one. I saw this. I've been thinking about it. Let's see. I want to say, worst is kind of weird, but like, is
I think we have to set some criteria, like at least played one season, because there's some guys who play like 10-day contracts or something like that who really shouldn't count.
I mean, and there are expectations versus production versus, but okay. So I'm going to say Marcus Banks is my worst point guard.
That feels righty.
Worst shooting guard. I had some ideas.
Joseph Forte?
Yes, that's the one. That's the guy. Joseph Forte.
We could have had Tony Parker, but Red Auerbach, he stamped his cane down and said, no, Joe Forte's the pick.
That's the good one. That's the one I was thinking of. Can we put James Young at the three? I feel like he was like a swing man.
Absolutely. He belongs there.
The worst power forward. I'm going to say Mikey Moore.
I don't even remember Mikey Moore. Tell me more.
Mikey Moore had two stints. Man, he was bad. He had two stints with the Celtics. He had a fairly long career, but he came with, let's see, the first time he was with the Celtics, he was 27 and he played in three games. It was like a weird thing. And then later on, he came back and it just terrible. I remember he had like the long dreads, super, super skinny, long dreads. He played with the Celtics in 08, 09. He was one of those like bench guys that kind of came in that in an effort to kind of fill out the bench. He was terrible. He was terrible. So I'm just going to put him at the four. There are other good names, but like I want to throw Vin Baker in there, but Vin Baker actually had some early production. And then my center, the late, great Fab Melo.
Ooh, yeah, he was awful.
That's just
RIP, but he was not very good at basketball.
I feel bad saying that. I do not want to speak ill of the dead, but and it's tragic that he's gone. But you know, for a first round pick and just you know giving yourself a concussion on a door frame is going to put you right in there. So I think that's a solid. There are other good choices. There are a lot of other good choices, but I think that's a solid starting bad five.
The only other two names that really came to mind, and I can't tell if they were actually bad or they were just kind of tall white guys, so I thought they were bad. Rafe LaFrenz, I just remember him being an utter disappointment in everything he did. And then Vitaly Potapenko.
See, I liked Potapenko. I liked him. Like, he wasn't bad. He actually had some production. Rafe LaFrenz was hurt all the time. He was disappointing, but I wouldn't say he was bad necessarily. But well,
he certainly wasn't good. But I
he wasn't,
agree with
he
you.
Wasn't
I think...
good. What do you have? 3 years. Look, he had. I'm looking up his stats right now. He had 1 year where he averaged 11-7, which you know, not horrible. I mean, he had. What was his true shooting? He never really did cross 50% true shooting, so that wasn't particularly great. Like I said, he wasn't good, but he wasn't so bad that I would put him up there. But look, if you adjust the criteria a little bit and say what he should have been, you could easily make a case, but I think there are definitely worse guys than Rafe LaFrentz. You know, you could throw Kedrick Brown in there. He was a guy that he was a first round draft pick. He just flamed out. Just ugh, God. Oh, and Mark Blunt. I hated that guy. Oh, he might be the single most hated Celtic, in my opinion, to me. Like I can't have any more irrational hatred for a guy that I've never met than I had for Mark Blount. He basically stole money from the Celtics. Oh my God. Just thinking about him, my blood pressure goes way up. This is like bad for my health, how much I dislike him. So I'm just going to shut up and move on, because otherwise this will be ugly.
I think that we developed pretty good list there. If anyone else has any other ideas for worst Celtics since 2000, please use hashtag raining junk. Let's see. This is from the Celtics blog. Shout outs to Jeff Clark. It says, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum need a boy band name. What should it be? This is a tough one. We saw pictures of them hanging out with Gucci Mane at the Garden. Now, the obvious one would be the Rain and Jays, but I don't know if Jay King would approve of that. He doesn't seem to like other people using that that name.
But if we did it with Reignin, like Reignin, and Jays, Jays, the Rain and Jays, it's kind of like an homage to us a little bit.
Yeah, no, it definitely works out. I like the idea of having them be like the front two guys, and then they have a backing band. So it's like, it would be like JJ and the Strong Boys. And the Strong Boys would be made up of Semi Ojeleye, Marcus Smart, Yabu. And they would just be doing like the Jackson 5, like 1-2 step in the background. So I'm going to go with JJ and the Strong Boys, mostly just because I want to call the bench unit the Strong Boys. I think it's a solid nickname for a bunch of just swole, scrappy dudes with not a lot of finesse.
With their debut album, Combat Muscle.
Exactly. If someone can please Photoshop JJ and the Strong Boys Combat Muscle, I'll be forever grateful. Let's see. Rain and Junk questions. There's one about trying to cast the Celtics as Wire characters, but I know you're not as much of a fan of the show, so I'll save that for a Jay King episode.
Yeah, save that one, because I've never watched The Wire.
Oh, you got nothing but time, man. It's not like you have any other things to do in your life. It's not like you have a full-time job or writing for Boston.com or doing anything else like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look. There's last one, I think, is from Arun Bond 75. If the Celtics were the movie The Departed, would Tito fill the Mark Wahlberg role of small but pivotal piece that ultimately is award-worthy? I'm going to say, Arun, you win the award for not really – you just had a statement and you framed it as a question. You were just saying that Tito is the Mark Wahlberg role. And you're not wrong. I think that is kind of fitting, but I don't know. I feel like you're trying to smash the Celtics into the movie Departed here. I don't know who would be playing the Matt Damon character, who would be playing Leonardo DiCaprio. But I agree with you that Tito is awesome and he plays a small role. But other than that, I don't know how to react.
Hard. First of all, I haven't seen The Departed in a while, so I have to rewatch it. I have watched it. That's not a way for me to say I haven't watched it. I have seen it, but we'd have to cast the whole movie, and I'm fully not prepared to cast the whole movie to figure out where this goes.
And someone on the Celtics would have to be undercover trying to usurp someone else on the Celtics. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I can't wrap my head. This is something I need a lot more time and a lot more alcohol to get through. And I haven't had much of both. So,
all right. The last one is from Jeremy Wolf at the Thinking JAR. Seems like a lot of the C's are keeping their hair trim and we're losing some hair favorites like James Young and Gerald Green. Any sleeper picks for best hair? Right now, I'm going to say Gordon Hayward's the leader in the clubhouse with that nice swoop. I don't know. There's a bunch of new guys on the team. I don't know what their hair. Jaylen Brown's got a nice a flat top.
Well, Aaron Baines has that little crazy cut with the kind of like ponytail, but he's like shaved on the side, but it's long on the top. And he's got the big beard that kind of goes with the look. You know who my sleeper is? Al Horford. He's growing his hair out. He's got kind of like a little thing going on there. Because he basically had shaved it pretty close, and now he's growing it out.
I'm looking at the picture right now, and I just want to make sure. He is growing it out, but do we know if that's his real hairline? It could be kind of that Carlos Boozer Sharpie. That's coming in a lot thicker than I'm used to seeing Al Horford. I'm not used to seeing his hair that long, so I'm with you. He is a sleeper pick, but I just want to make sure that that's legit. So someone needs to check on Gorgeous Eyes Al Horford's hairline, because you know what? If it's all natural, I'm for it. But if it's fake, then I crap on LeBron all the time for his fake hairline, so I can't be a hypocrite.
I don't know. I'm kind of looking for Al Horford to grow the mustache out. See, he's getting a little older, but he's still young enough where nothing's gray. I was kind of hoping for him to go with a Will Smith Pursuit of Happiness type of look, you know, with that big mustache and kind of like the graying sides. Just a little, yeah. It's the mustache. I want him to grow the mustache. That's what's going to make the look.
If he grows a mustache, he's the ultimate winner. And I know he's married, but watch out, ladies, men. That's a dangerous man on the loose right there, Al Horford with a mustache. Those eyes, that mustache, whoop! It's impressive. And I think that's the perfect place to wrap up Raining Junk.
I think there's
no other way we can end it.
That is the exact place where we're going to end Raining Junk and this show. So thanks to everybody for sending in the questions, appropriately hashtagging them. Raining Jays, Raining Junk. Keep doing that. We'll do these mailbags every so often. Before the season starts, and you know, in a few weeks, we're going to get back into training camps. It's going to be coming up pretty soon. The season starts in like a month. It starts early this year. We're almost there. So the Daily Celtics podcast is going to be coming back. But until then, we'll do a couple more of these. And as always, throughout the season, send in your questions and we'll pepper them into podcasts. Please remember to subscribe to the show. You can find us anywhere, including Spotify. If you use Spotify for your music at the gym, just keep it there and search their podcast. Spotify is very selective about who they choose, and they have chosen us to be in their podcast. So search for us there as well. Rate us 5 stars if you could. Leave us a review. Let people know that we're awesome so we can rise in the rankings. It's a great way to pay us. We do not ask you for money. We do ask you to sit through an ad or two, but if you can give us a little bit of a rating, a little bit of a review that lets people know that they should listen to us and subscribe, that's a great way to pay us as well. And again, check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. Some great shows going on there. We will talk to you soon, and hopefully with some trash talk where those Celtics stuff live, guys. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.